Uncensored.
The thing with Deshaun yesterday is we just flat missed him five times. I mean, one of those was a tough over-the-top shot that Jameis overthrew, but there was four other times that Deshaun was open, and we just missed him. And Jameis, you know, we didn't miss very many throws yesterday, but the ones we didn't miss, unfortunately, were mostly to Deshaun.
Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light. And $5 cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you've got guys running that dealership that are stick carriers just like each and every one of you. And because of that, they are giving you a special deal that nobody else gets. Go to Mastro Subaru, whether it's in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Tell them you're a stick carrier and you get special stick carrier pricing just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. New and pre-owned vehicles, they've got a huge selection. You go in, tell them you're a Bucks fan, tell them you're a stick carrier, and they're going to take some money off of that price just for you. Mastro Subaru with two locations in Orlando and Tampa. Check them out at MastroSubaru.com.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. We are self-sustaining.
I'd do it right now, but I don't know what that is.
What the fuck?
Somebody that knows somebody that knows something about it. And I won't answer now. Who, what, where, why? See, a lot of dudes like to act the fool now. Get on live, but that ain't my style.
So this is new. Bucks Uncensored recording this on my iPhone, much like all of you when you submit your Bucks takes, and I'm doing it driving home from work. Why is that? Why? Well, am I safe? Oh, you're driving. Oh, listen, I put the phone in my pocket, my chest pocket, record, and I got two hands on the wheel. Well, one hand on the wheel sometimes. You know where the other hand is. Okay. Figured Outlaw would like that. All right. So the reason I'm recording from my car is that I could not wait until I got home to start recording. Why? Because I just listened to Dirk Cutter's press conference on Monday. First off, you heard the clip. We started the podcast with it.
The thing with Deshaun yesterday is we just flat missed him five times. I mean, one of those was a tough over-the-top shot that Jameis overthrew, but there was four other times that Deshaun was open, and we just missed him. And Jameis, you know, we didn't miss very many throws yesterday, but the ones we didn't miss, unfortunately, were mostly to Deshaun.
I mean, the way this guy defends the most selfish player in his locker room is complete and utter bullshit. It's bullshit. Jameis didn't miss the Jackson five times. The first fucking pass of the game hit him right fucking in the hands, and he dropped it! He dropped it. I mean, but we just keep defending this. God, I just don't fucking get it with Cutter. Now, he did go on to say, you know, Jameis made some nice decisions, blah, blah, blah. You know. But my God. And I'm listening to this press conference, and I think Rick Stroud tried to ask the question, but then he stumbled, and Cutter knew where he was going, so this is probably going to be a stupid question. Okay.
Your coaching is trying to develop consistency, but, I mean, why?
That's a sign from God that these questions sucks. I just couldn't help that.
What? Is it frustrating that he didn't choose to play this way earlier, I guess?
Well, no player's going out there choosing not to play well. I mean, no one chooses that. I don't. You know, Jameis made good decisions with the football yesterday. He played a clean game, and you know, we had a good result. We win the turnover margin. You know, we get two takeaways. We don't turn it over. And that's a game where we only had six explosives on offense, and we're tied for the lead, I think, in the NFL in explosives. And we had maybe our lowest total of the year yesterday. Now, a couple of those we missed to Deshaun would have upped that. But I thought Jameis just did what needed to be done yesterday. He made the plays, and then, like I said, he made really good decisions in the scramble game.
And then Jenna Lane, let me just say this about Jenna Lane, and I might even post this all over social media. That woman, I mean, I know her personally. I've worked with her. That woman busts her fucking ass to get to where she is right now. I am so sick and tired of hearing, especially some of the other media members who are bitter because she just went right past their ass and got hired by ESPN while the others have to fucking create their own fucking website because they weren't good enough. I mean, watching Jenna over the years, she puts in more hours than any other media member. She is always there, busting her ass. She wasn't making a lot of money for a long time. She was doing a lot of it on her own dime. And I swear, every fucking press conference I listen to, with Dirk, yeah, he'll attack some of the other media members. But every fucking press conference, he is attacking Jenna. Every single one. And I'm telling you this right now. It's towing the line of being sexist. He's not doing that to anyone else. And this question that she asked is very relevant.
He acknowledged yesterday that he had to kind of get away from chasing the Fitzmagic that, you know, got the year off to such an exciting start.
I thought you led him to that when I watched it.
Okay, did you?
Serious.
Okay.
I thought you led him to that.
I led him to that? Okay, well, that's your opinion on that. But
yeah.
I also gave
you're asking me my opinion.
Well, right, and I wasn't actually finished asking you the question.
I know, I just interrupted you. I just jumped in there.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's okay. But has that been a point of emphasis at all for you as far as
no.
telling him he needs to be Jameis?
No.
So you don't think there's any coincidence to him saying that he needed to simplify things, that he needed to be himself and all that? You don't think that there's any correlation there with, you know, him
asked
making better
answered.
Decisions, checking down yesterday?
He did. I already said that. He did. He did a really good job making decisions yesterday. I already said that.
And it's relevant. Dirk Cutter said his bullshit. But it's relevant because of what Jameis Winston said after the game on Sunday.
You talked earlier this week about Fitzmagic and how even you bought into that. Have at times, at any point this season, have you kind of had to stop yourself and say, no, I'm not chasing that. I've got to be myself. I've got to be Jameis.
That's what I shoot out to do every week is to be myself. And it's definitely challenging when you have such a wave of a guy that's doing an amazing job. And you try to fit in and just lay low. But I think it was really good. Like I said, I'm just grateful to be back out there and had a chance to go out there and execute with my team.
Feel like at times you were kind of chasing, I mean, because those opportunities that he had, you know, get a single high safety and stuff, those don't always come around. Sometimes those plays aren't there to be made. But did you ever feel like you kind of had to say, hey, I can't chase what he did. I've got to carve my own path this year.
I think it was more, you know, trying to prove to everyone what I'm capable of. Ryan's been in this game for a long time, so I want to chase his years, definitely. Hopefully I can be somewhere, be in this league for 14 years. But I think you, as a any player, you always got to be yourself. I've been playing this game since I've been 4 years old, so I think the most important thing is to be the best me, never trying to chase someone else. Chase the man in the mirror and compete against him every day.
He said he had to simplify things and get back to being himself. Start with the man in the mirror. And the question was the same question. Was he trying to live up to the Fitzmagic? And he did say yes. But Jameis Winston himself should not have to tell himself that. Where in the absolute fuck is the coaching? And this comes back to loyalty. Are they loyal to Jameis Winston? Are they trying to build him up, to develop him? Or does Dirk Cutter just say, well, whatever. I already said he was good. What more do you want? I don't know. He's the starting fucking quarterback for your franchise. He's 24 years old. And the hope of our city and our franchise probably falls on him right now. So, yes. We are interested. Did you coach him up, or did you just throw him out there after the suspension? My guess is that he just threw him out there. Oh, we'll coach the gameplay. He's 24 fucking years old. And I'm in a position now where I have to manage people. Never really done this before at my job. I've got some people who are older, near my age, and some people who are in their mid to early 20s. You have to treat those people a little bit differently. They haven't experienced life. It's got to bring them along. Life lessons. Shit. We all sit here and try to portray as if Jameis Winston is supposed to magically be a 35-year-old man rather than a 24-year-old young man. And I do think that he's maturing, but as with anyone, you have to have the coaching. It doesn't matter if you're playing football, another sport, or in another job. I coach on a daily basis. That's how you get the most out of people. And why was Jameis Winston not being coached up? It's not just about the game plan. It's not just about specific plays and specific reads. How about some general coaching? Put yourself in his shoes. Where's he coming from? What's his mindset? He sat on the sideline and watched the backup quarterback light up the NFL the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, if I'm sitting there, I'm concerned that the NFL does stand for not for long. And maybe I am on the way out. You know, I'm not defending Jameis Winston. It's more criticism of Dirk Cutter. You got to question whether or not the coaching has helped this team or has developed anyone on this team. And again, it goes back to the year progressions. You know, is anyone, you can sit there and say, hey, Jameis, no, don't turn the ball over. Are they saying that? Are they coaching him? I'm sure they're saying it, but are they explaining it? You know, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I do know this. The coaching will change. And that will be a good thing. Because I think the Glazers have, I'm hoping, that's all we have, and assuming. I'm hoping the Glazers have a clear mind this time as to the coach and type of coach they want to go after. You know, and I've thought a lot, I mean, I'm on the fence here. I like the Harbaugh, the idea of John Harbaugh. Coach for a long time, a lot of success, physical football teams. And then you had Joe Flacco. Now, was Joe Flacco his Achilles heel? Was Joe Flacco the weak link that was holding him back? Or did they just not get enough out of Joe Flacco? I mean, that's the concern, because you're hoping that a coach is going to come in here and continue to develop Jameis Winston. So that brings us to some of the other coordinators and college coaches that are out there. You know, whether it be a DeFilippo with the Vikings offensive coordinator, who, you know, this is, I think, one of his first years calling plays. I don't give a shit if a guy can call plays or not. John Harbaugh wasn't a coordinator. I want to say he was a special teams coach or a DBs coach, one of the two. He was a long time, maybe he was a long time special teams coach, got a year as the DBs coach for Philly, and then went to Baltimore. He's been okay. I don't think you have to be a successful coordinator in the NFL that has called plays to go on to be a successful head coach. What I can tell you about him, DeFilippo in Minnesota, is that he has worked with and developed a lot of quarterbacks over the years. And I think the recent history that he showed, not only with Carson Wentz, but also with Nick Foles, in helping Nick Foles become a Super Bowl MVP, speaks volumes. I think what Matt LaFleur is doing in Tennessee with Marcus Mariota, tailoring the offense to Marcus Mariota. Many of you don't know who Matt LaFleur is, but he was Sean McVay's offensive coordinator in L.A. last year for the Rams. Now, McVay obviously called the plays, but at least he got to spend a year under him as the head coach, and the two of them had coached together with the Washington Redskins while Kyle Shanahan was there and Mike Shanahan was the head coach. LaFleur has followed Kyle Shanahan to Atlanta and then to San Francisco, I believe, before joining McVay in L.A. So those are – I saw one another story today. I think this was from one of the websites. It might have been USA Today. And they brought up the name Cliff Kingsbury. But you talk about Cliff Kingsbury or Matt Campbell at Iowa State, Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech. Just looking at offensive-minded head coaches that can work with quarterbacks that are young. I mean, it seems to be – listen, the NFL's always been – a copycat league. And now people are like, well, we got to get a young offensive guy. I mean, whoever it is, if you believe Jameis Winston can be the guy, or you still have hope that he is the guy, I think the Glazers are going to take that into consideration when deciding on who their next head coach is going to be. Now, what's crazy about Dirk Cutter, and I did, you know how I usually just shoot from the hip, and I don't write down a bunch of topics, but I was just curious, because we've talked so much about Jameis Winston the last few years, not having a run game, they have failed on multiple running backs, trying to find somebody talented who can run the ball, then sticking to the run, and I look back at Dirk Cutter's career with the Jaguars and with the Falcons before he came to the Bucs. With the Jaguars, he had Maurice Jones-Drew. I believe he was there 4 seasons as offensive coordinator. And in the first season, Jones-Drew did like 700 yards or whatnot. The last 3 seasons, Cutter was in Jacksonville. Maurice Jones-Drew ran for right around, I think it was between 4,300 and 4,500 yards in 3 seasons. Ton of carries, ran the ball. And that was their offense. So then Cutter goes to Atlanta. He's got Michael Turner the first year. Then Turner either retired or left. Steven Jackson comes in. Steven Jackson got hurt, which meant they had to throw a lot more in his second year. which led to Matt Ryan throwing 17 interceptions in Cutter's offense. And then in Cutter's final year with the Atlanta Falcons, they still had Steven Jackson, and guess what? They drafted Devontae Freeman. So obviously running back was of at least some significance to Dirk Cutter, that he had Maurice Jones-Drew in Jacksonville, then had Turner, then went to Steven Jackson, and then drafted Devontae Freeman. I'm not sure why the same has not been done in Tampa. But I digress, because it's a moot point now. The coaching change will be made, and my hope is that if the Buccaneers are searching for a head coach, they're doing so for one that can work with, design an offense around, and truly develop not only your number one draft pick in Jameis Winston, and I'm not saying develop an offense for everyone else, but how about developing some other players on this team? Who's getting better right now? Who's getting better? And are they getting better because of coaching? I'll tell you what, the answer to that question on players is few and far between. And that has been a major, major issue. The lack of development and the lack of putting players in position to succeed. And quite frankly, those are the two most important jobs of a head coach. I'm Justin Pawlowski. Catch me on social media at Commish Online on Twitter and Instagram and, of course, Facebook. Join us and interact with the Bucks Mob. Search for Bucks Mob and join us as we debate all of the topics. You know it's going to be very, very active as we near the end of the season and get into an off-season that I know we hate the off-season. I know the Bucks always seem to win the off-season, but guess what, folks? They're going to be very, very, very active again this offseason again. This is Bucks Uncensored. Bucks Takes are coming up next.
Bucks Uncensored.
Drop top Porsche, Rolly on my wrist, diamonds up and down my chain. Cardi B, straight stunning, can't tell me nothing. Bossed up and I changed the game. It's my big bronze boogie, got all them girls shook. My big fat ass got all them boys cooked. Run from dollar bills and I be popping rubber bands. Bruno Sang, tell me while I do my money dance. Like, flexing on the gram like, hit the Lil Jon, okay.
All right, I hope you all enjoyed that. Little ride home with the commish back in my home studio. Now for the second portion. I just couldn't. I couldn't hold it in. I got a ton of respect for Jenna. And, you know, Dirk Cutter has attacked different media members, but it's her like every single press conference. And if you listen back to that first segment, how he responded to Rick Stroud and then how he responded to Jenna, it was like, with Rick, it's like, with Jenna, it's like, I already answered that. I already said Jameis did good. What else do you want me to, like, what, you can't say your fucking quarterback did good twice? I mean, clearly something's going on, clearly. Speaking of something going on. Something's always going on when you get that Cigar City beer. Listen, if I'm going out, if I'm out, okay, you see me there, most likely the odds are I've got a Cigar City Hi-Li right in front of me. It's my beer of choice. It's not my beer of choice. It's the only beer that I drink. I'm not interested in any other beers. So why don't you do the same thing? Highlight too much for you? They got the Invasion. They got the Florida Cracker. They got the Maduro. They've got all different kinds of beers to attract all different kinds of beer lovers. And if we're going, like I always say, to be devoted to our city, to be devoted to our team, to be loyal, why would we not be loyal to a beer that is born and raised right here in Tampa? Cigar City, with their tasting room off of Spruce Street, with beer should be in every liquor store in the Bay Area. I imagine it is. If it's not, you better give your liquor store a lashing and tell them to get it there. In most restaurants across the Bay Area, and I'm seeing it, it's in San Diego, it's in Pennsylvania, it's in New Jersey, in New York. People are sending me pictures of High Life everywhere. Keep sending them to me at Commish Online on Twitter and Instagram, or post them up at the Bucks Mob Facebook page, Cigar City Beer. We love them. All right, let's, speaking of something happening, let's go to Rico. We haven't heard from Rico in a long time. Hello, Rico.
Justin, what's going on, man? It's Rico. Extremely happy. The Bucks won. Hell of a game. Yeah, it's against the 49ers, but hey, I'm going to take it, though, because we don't get many of these. I'm going to just take it, man. You know, for the most part, we played a team game today. Shout out to everybody, man, all the Bucks. And I got a happy fan here. And what I really wanted to say, man, I don't want to ruin the mojo we got going on, the happiness, but real quick, man, D-Jack, you got to get the fuck out of Tampa, man. His attitude fucking stinks. I seen a little clip that Joe Buck fan put on Instagram of him running off to the fucking locker room right after the game just ended with a fucking mad ass look in his face. And then just now he posted some shit on Instagram about God has a plan and I don't know, some shit about if he's silent, he'll give you more than what he asked for, so be prepared. And some dude commented on there that he should leave, and he, I don't know, man. If y'all care to look for it, look it up, man. It's bullshit. I responded to his ass, and it looks like he deleted my fucking post. I don't know, because I'm searching and searching. Seconds after I just posted, I wrote what I wrote or typed, and it's gone. He's a cancer, man. Justin, you've been saying it for a few weeks now, and I just didn't want to, like, you know, take your side, if I can call it that way. But now that I see what you're saying, man, that dude don't want to be here. He don't care about the team. He just worried about himself and the next goddamn contract. He's fucking mad. We don't need people like that, man. All right, man, I'm out.
All right, Rico, appreciate it. And I will say this, and Rico's, I didn't want to believe you in this. If I have that strong of an opinion, just know it's not only what I've seen, but I do my due diligence. I pick up the phone, I call, I text, I get info that I need. So I try to have educated opinions on items such as Mishon, or not Mishon, Mijax acting like Mishon. He should get the Mishon treatment. But he'll probably go on injured reserve. I hope he does. I don't want to see him in a Buccaneer uniform ever again. I just think he has torn apart the locker room. I think he has tried to tear apart the team. It's obvious his coach adores him. And because of that, hey, Jameis Winston, he did good. He made good decisions. But, you know, he missed those five throws to Deshaun. And, yeah, you know, gives a fuck. Your quarterback was great. Who gives a fuck if he couldn't hit one of his fucking five receivers? God, it is mind-boggling what is happening over there. Alex Alexander in Brazil. But what part of Brazil, really?
Yo, Justin. Yo, Kamish. Alexander from Brazil. Oh, better. Alexander from São Paulo, Brazil. Just as our kicker, Cairo Santos. So I can't tell you how pleased I am to see a guy who was born in the same city as I, who speaks the same language that I do, playing for our dear Buccaneers. I guess it's how you feel all the time. You guys that support the Bucks, who has some strings attached with the city and with the state, the team who can watch the team almost every year, and to me it feels really special that now I have someone in our team that I can relate off this way. So it's been awesome to follow the Bucks with you guys, but I have to say that this last 2 weeks has been extra special because of this bond, this connection that I have now, you know? And especially because he's doing great, so that's it. I just want to share my happiness with all you guys, because in the last year, this last month, that I've been sending texts to the podcast, it's been great. So that's it. Thanks for having me. Go Bucks.
All right, thank you, Alexander, and glad that you have that special connection. And listen, I think we all speak the same language here when we say thank you for a kicker that can make field goals and extra points. But hey, let's keep it going, Santos. Be nice if he could be consistent, and then we don't have that to worry about for the foreseeable future. But appreciate it. Appreciate the Bucks takes. We're going to call this one a short one today. Hope you enjoyed it. Again, back on Monday. Very anxious to hear those Bucks takes. Sunday, following the Bucks game against the Panthers, we'll see how Jameis Winston goes out and performs against the Panthers. He didn't play. No, he didn't play in that game. So we'll see how he goes out against a division rival in the Panthers. And, you know, like I said a couple weeks ago, I mean, 7th pick, 3rd pick, 10th pick, 20th pick. I mean, you could argue that the Bucks, well, Mike Evans was really good. Jury's still out on Jameis, but O.J. Howard was picked in the late teens. So, yeah, you want him to have a higher pick? Sure. Do you want him to lose to the Saints last year and get Bradley Chubb or Quentin Nelson? Yes. But they didn't. So my hope is that Jameis Winston goes out and plays well again, builds on last week, gets better, and we just start looking ahead to 2019. Because it's you can't lose. You cannot lose one more game. And you got 5 very, very difficult ones. So my head's on straight. I get it. I know what I'm looking at now. I know what I should be looking at now. And I know what I'm thinking about. And that is the future. You should be doing the same thing. All right. Thank you to our sponsors, Buffalo Wild Wings, Mastro Subaru, Cigar City Beer, B4, what you drink before you drink, and the guy who makes me look oh so good, Christian Perez from Headlines Barbershop. The sponsors keep this podcast alive, ticking, and going. But so do you. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast, for giving us thousands upon thousands of downloads and listens for each and every episode, and continue to spread the word. There are going to be some Bucks fans that are angry, upset. Perfect. Send them this way, because everyone here is angry and upset at what we've seen. That's why we're the Bucks mob. That's why we demand change for the better. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Enjoy the game on Sunday. And nailed it.
Go Bucks.